Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're so grateful to have you tuning in on this Transfiguration Sunday when we read the story of Jesus's divine encounter on a mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, and having three of his closest disciples in tow. So as you prepare your hearts and minds for that story and to receive the word that will be offered to you this morning, I invite you to enjoy our anthem, Lead Kindly Light.
The night is gone, and we Our scripture today is Mark 9, 2 through 9, the Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, such as no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Aside from the fact that the transfiguration is extremely dramatic, we know that it is significant because it is in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is most likely that Mark, who we're reading today, is the earliest account written down that we still have, and that Matthew and Luke used Mark for their versions. A beloved preacher, teacher, scholar, friend from Yale, the late David Bartlett, said he found the Transfiguration to be one of the most confusing things in the gospel. So if the significance is not immediately apparent to you, you're in good company. I think it helps to go back and see what happened just before these verses. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and walking on water, that kind of thing. And he's on a break with his disciples. And he says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some think you're one of the famous prophets come back from the dead, like maybe John the Baptist or Elijah." Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ," meaning the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would save the Jewish people. Jesus warns them to keep quiet about that. I wonder why. We often think of Jesus as knowing everything all the time, but there is another line of thought that fully human Jesus is discovering his path in life, becoming who he is as he goes along, like we all are. And the more often I read this, the more that makes sense to me. I imagine Jesus thinking here, "Am I the Messiah, the Savior and the ruler of the Jews? I do not feel called to raise an army and take on the oppressor Rome in that way. I see my path differently. I think I'm called to show them how to love, how to live." He has an argument with Peter about it. Jesus has to rebuke Peter, who is essentially tempting Jesus away from what Jesus thinks is his mission. The famously hard line he throws at Peter is, "Get behind me, Satan." all the disciples are confused by what Jesus thinks his path, and by extension, their path is. The talk of being rejected and suffering and taking up their crosses. So after a few stressful days, he does exactly what Chapin recommended last week. He hikes up a mountain to pray. He takes three of his guys with him because they seem a little strung out too. And when they get to the top, all heaven breaks out. The most revered, long gone from this earth prophets of the faith are chatting with Jesus. And Jesus is shining like the sun, or like God. Peter, ever the man with a plan, must be thinking, I knew it. He is the Messiah. He is right up there with Moses and Elijah. We have nailed it. And I'm going to nail this down right now by building three dwellings. The kingdom starts right now. In a way, he's right, just not the way he thinks, and God lets him know it. If Peter thought a rebuke from Jesus was rough, he now gets the voice of God booming through the clouds. This is my son. Listen to him. Moses and Elijah have disappeared. It is only Jesus. Peter must learn that the kingdom is not about building dwellings on the mountain and basking in glory, at least not yet, but about the word of Jesus and Jesus' way of life. And if Jesus had any doubt about his path, his purposeful but peaceful way of pursuing love and justice, he now understands that his way is sure. His mission is confirmed. The kingdom is exactly what Jesus has already been living out with the disciples. His life, his words, his actions are what Peter and anyone else who seeks to be a disciple must take to heart. Having heard this, Jesus immediately starts back down the mountain to his calling. While preparing for this sermon, I was reading Sipam Zhang's new novel, In the Land of Milk and Honey. It contains many religious allusions, and one section that may have been intended as such struck me. The novel is set in a future where the agri-industry's experiments have caused a smog to blanket the earth, rendering almost all food incapable of growth. Certainly nothing that you would desire to eat was growing. The protagonist is a chef and gets a chance to escape to a secret elite mountaintop community above the cloud cover, where biologists and geneticists are growing the most beautiful and exotic plants and animals for the benefit of humankind, at least those lucky enough to have secured a spot on the mountain. Much happens there that would not be suitable for a sermon, but at a critical juncture, the chef feels pulled to go back down the mountain. Approaching the city below, the chef is awakened by the smells of life there. It stank of smog and diesel and cooking oil, of dust gone stale. A sudden waft of bleach made me cough. I took another breath, deeper. The rest of the laundry followed the bleach, wet fabric and soap. Musk and leather scudded in from a market. Somewhere, fresh tar, a new road. I traced the scent of jasmine to a knot of teenage girls. The city slapped me awake. This was no mountain breeze. That air so politely clean, it functioned as a kind of anesthetic. Numbing a person to garbage, ripely flowered, to new paint, an old stone, and to a smell that unfurled like a pungent brown carpet, calling me down the road. Well, no thank you, you might be thinking, but I thought of Jesus being drawn down the mountain, away from glory to suffering, to the poor and sick, to the marginalized, to life. Indeed, the first incident at the bottom of the mountain is Jesus healing a young boy. That's who Jesus is, all compassion. And he's embraced it, Son of God and just like his Father, saving by love. And we, my friends, are his siblings, same DNA. To be who we really are is to become like Jesus, the bearers of love and compassion. Well, that's fine for the first disciples, we might say. They get to follow Jesus around all day, eat and sleep with him, easy for them to imitate his way. But you know, they were learning on the fly, having to make it up as they went along. We have the benefit of 2,000 years of Christian witness and tradition and the Bible to help us figure it out. We have liturgical seasons that lead us on our path. Lent, as a matter of fact, is such a season of reflection, a season of transformation, a season when we adopt a practice to encourage that, a season when we might make the extra effort to listen to Jesus. One of the best ways to reflect on what Jesus thought and taught, and thereby transform our own minds to be like his, is to revisit the Sermon on the Mount, a collection of teachings motivated by a lavish love for the world. Some of you have Chapin's book, Practicing What Jesus Preached, a collection of reflections, questions, and practices on the famous sermon. If you don't have a copy and would like one, let us know. In addition, and I think this is very exciting, Chapin is recording these reflections so that there is one available wherever you get your podcast, each weekday from Ash Wednesday, just 3 days from now, through Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. So even if you think you have no time to add a practice, you can listen to Jesus via podcast on the way to the office or in the car waiting, for your kids to finish their activities, or while you're on a walk, highly recommended, or at night as you fall asleep. I plan to take this on for Lent, and it would be amazing if we all did this as a congregation, as one body, the body of Christ together, becoming the body of Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is from the mouth of Jesus, the one God claimed in the Transfiguration, the one to be heard, the beloved Son of God. Listen to him. Take this moment, this Lent, and really listen to him. Amen. Holy God of clouds and light, shine the path down the mountain for us. Speak loudly that we might hear and follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.